Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus. Joe Biden's having a very hard time of it. New poll out today. Reuters, 39% job approval, lowest number in the Reuters polls. Reuters, a left-wing news agency. And on every front, you can see that President Biden is having trouble. That is a subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. Vote less than a year away. Primaries 2 months from now, just about. Okay? So things are really coming up fast. Now, a bunch of stuff happened over the last few days, which is being misreported, misanalyzed. So I'm going to walk through this. The Democratic Party, like the Republican Party, really doesn't have a formal leader. All right, Nancy Pelosi was, but she's not the House Speaker anymore. So it's kind of a, but there is a leader, and I'm going to tell you in a moment who that is. But signals are starting to be sent through the media about President Biden. The first salvo was David Axelrod on CNN. He was President Obama's top advisor. Roll the tape.
I mean, there's just a lot of concern about the age issue. And that is something that I think he needs to ponder. Just do a check and say, is this the right thing to do?
Now, Axelrod doesn't go on television and say that without consulting with Barack Obama. And he doesn't just do it. Okay, these guys are very, very precise in what they say. So the president, former president himself, goes on a podcast and says this. Go.
You can pretend to speak the truth. You can speak one side of the truth. And in some cases, you can try to maintain your moral innocence, but that won't solve the problem. And so if you want to solve the problem, then you have to take in the whole truth. And you then have to admit nobody's hands are clean, that all of us are complicit to some degree.
All right, talking about the Hamas attack on Israel. Well, number one, I'm not complicit in the attack at all. Okay, so right there, Mr. Obama is wrong. And I don't think you're complicit watching and listening to me across the world. I don't think you are. I mean, my tax dollars, hard-earned tax dollars, have gone into Gaza and Israel to try to help the innocent people in both places. Well, I'm not complicit in anything. Okay? Now, Barack Obama had 8 years in office. Donald Trump had four. Biden has had three. And the situation with Hamas is as bad as it's ever been. Now, maybe they're complicit. I don't know. Okay, I don't know. All I know is that Hamas is a terror group. They want to kill every Jew they can kill. And they started the war a month ago. That's what I know. That's the truth. Not my truth. Not Barack Obama's truth. Not part the truth. That's the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Okay? All right. Now, by saying what he said, Barack Obama distances himself from Joe Biden. Again, this is not done by accident. So Biden is what the cliche goes, all in to support Israel and condemn Hamas. Even though Biden is so befuddled, it's a ceasefire now, it's maybe this, it's that. Who knows what he's going to say the next hour. But Obama sent a message here that we shouldn't be 100% for Israel. That's the message. And Biden is at this point, might back away. Now, here's what I said on the Leland Vitter show on News Nation last night. Go. And his own party is turning on him, as you rightly pointed out, with Barack Obama, who really is the leader of the Democratic Party. All right. Joe Biden is the leader of anything. Barack Obama is more influenced by far than Joe Biden does. Mm-hmm. So the message that the former president Obama sent to Joe Biden was, don't run. Now, I may be overstating that, but I don't think so. Because you haven't heard a lot from Barack Obama or David Axelrod negative about Biden. They're stalwart Democrats. They're not going to criticize another Democrat. This doesn't happen. Okay? But now he's starting to get, they're getting nervous. Whole Democratic structure is getting nervous. And Obama is the Yoda, Y-O-D-A, of the Democratic Party. So Democrats in the United States, if it's, are you going to listen to Obama or Biden, you know which way that's going to go. So the signals are being sent. Now, I hate to use this next soundbite because I don't like to involve myself with these people on MSNBC. I mean, you know how I feel about that network. It's just a propaganda thing, top to bottom. But this morning, Joe Scarborough, he didn't really like Obama being thrown under the, he didn't like Biden. I got to get my thoughts precise here. Scarborough did not like Biden getting thrown under the bus. Go.
You can keep going on and on about, you know, then after that, it's like, okay, well, maybe he's good. Then it's like, now he's too old. Then he delivers a State of the Union address. And that's, well, hey. So,
let's see.
Again, Joe Biden's been underestimated his entire life. He's being underestimated now. This is not a smart, not smart bet to bet against him.
All right. So he's sticking up for Biden. Now, it's interesting because Scarborough was once a congressman, Republican from Florida. But when you have the paycheck coming in, and maybe it's unfair of me, could be, but I've seen so much in my close to 50 years in the media. When you have the paycheck coming in, you kind of, well, maybe I'll be a Democrat now. Nicole Wallace, same thing on MSNBC. She worked for Bush the Younger. And now the paycheck's coming in. But again, I could be being unfair here. All right, maybe they have had some kind of conversion of clarity of thought. I don't know. So Joe Biden now is controversial in his own party. Okay? And he's going to get more controversial because today David Weiss, a special counsel in Delaware involved with the Hunter Biden case, testified closed door in front of the House Judiciary Committee. That's Jim Jordan. And tomorrow we'll analyze it because I don't have the stuff yet. Remember, when stuff leaks out, which it will, on Weiss, I got to check it. I can't just run it like everybody else does. I don't do that. So I gotta check stuff that comes out before I put it on the air. I'm sorry, that's just old school journalism. But I'll have it for you tomorrow. We'll know what Weiss said, at least some of it. All right, so summing up, the impeachment might come next. Certainly, Comer and the other committee head and Republican side wants that. He's not going to get thrown out, but it'll be a revenge for the Trump impeachment. And I still stand by my prediction that Biden's not going to be on the 24 presidential ballot. But of course, it's just a prediction. And, and that's a memo. Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus. So I looked around to get the best guest, as we always do on the No Spin News, who really knows what's happening in the world of terrorism and things like that. So the man's name is Ambassador Robert O'Brien. You may know him. I've seen him on other programs. He was a former national security advisor to Donald Trump, 2019 to 21. Before that, special presidential envoy for hostage affairs. And Ambassador O'Brien really helped us with Killing the Killers, which I think is the best book on terrorism. I think I'm bragging here. Killing Jesus is the best book I've yet. But if you really want to know about terrorism in a modern world, Killing the Killers book for you. Anyway, the ambassador joins us now from Salt Lake City. So number one, how did the Trump administration, when you were inside it as the national security advisor, keep a lid on Hamas Israel? How did you guys do that?
So, Bill, it's a great question. And it goes back to Ronald Reagan. It's called peace through strength. When you're strong and your adversaries know that you're going to stand by your allies and that you're going to be tough, the world is a more peaceful place. Our allies are safer and America is safer. And that's true for Ukraine. It's true for Taiwan. It's true for Israel. We've got three great adversaries: Russia, which is since the Trump administration has invaded Ukraine; Iran, which has essentially invaded Israel through Hamas, its cat's paw; and now we're waiting for the other shoe to drop with what's going to happen with Xi Jinping and China and Taiwan. So, unfortunately, weakness begets is provocative, and it begets uncertainty, and our adversaries attempt to take advantage of it. And when we were strong, this didn't happen. When we were weak or appeared to be weak, it does happen, and that's a concern.
Give the audience an example of strength. I mean, you're obviously saying that Biden is a weak president and the villains are taking advantage of that weakness. But give me an example, a specific example of Hamas Israel and what the Trump administration did to forestall military action.
Yeah, so another great question, Bill. So I'd like to take a look at the Abraham Accords. When we brought peace to the Middle East, we brought peace to Israel and Bahrain and Morocco and Sudan. And the way we got there is we recognized Israel's right to have a capital in Jerusalem. We moved the embassy to Jerusalem. And you'll remember people said, you can't do that. The Arab street's going to go nuts. There'll be a war. But we moved the embassy and we said, this is where we're planting our flag. We've recognized Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights. And that again, sent a message that we're standing by our allies in Israel. For the UAE, we put maximum pressure on Iran. And Iran had, we almost eliminated their foreign currency reserves when we left office. They had $4 billion in foreign currency reserves because we enforced the sanctions against them. Today, they have $70 billion. They're a rich country. And what have they done with that money, with either the oil sales, the hostage ransom, the $6 billion hostage ransom? They've used it to support Hamas and Hezbollah and their other Khatib Hezbollah in Iraq, the Houthis in Yemen. And so we starved Iran. We gave the UAE the weapons it needed, the Patriot missiles. We took care of Israel. And so our Arab allies realized America was there. We were strong. And this sort of thing wouldn't have happened.
Now, you were the top hostage guys. And Hamas is holding, you know, a considerable number of hostages now. Is there any way that you would see that the Biden administration could do more than it's doing now to try to get those people out? Are they missing something?
Look, I know some of the things that are going on, and so I don't want to interfere with any negotiations they've got going, but I think they are doing the right thing with Qatar. Qatar's been an ally. I know people have been upset with Qatar because some of the Hamas leadership is there, but Qatar is working to try and get the American hostages out with the Biden administration. What I've said before is that we needed to forward deploy our Delta forces and our Navy SEAL teams into the Sinai on the south side of the Gaza Strip in Egypt and into Israel. so that when Israel goes into Gaza City and opportunities arise to rescue a hostage or two or four or five, you know, keep in mind they'll probably be dispersed and be in the tunnels. But we need to have our guys there, our hostage rescue specialists there to help the Israelis, because they're going to be outmanned and there's so many hostages that they're not going to have enough special forces to get them all. So I think our folks need to be on the ground, our specialists, to retrieve those hostages when the opportunity arises.
Now, why would Hamas, they know they're not going to beat Israel militarily. Why now? You know, Biden's got one more year. What are they hoping to accomplish other than a worldwide conflict, which some people think will happen? I don't think it will. But what's motivating Hamas to move now?
I think they saw a gap. They saw us leave Afghanistan in a chaotic environment and situation. They watched Russia invade Ukraine. They probably figured our hands were full with other crises, especially in Europe. And they thought they had an opportunity to take the Israelis out. The other thing is the Iranians have been very, very aggressive over the past year or two with all the money they've made from their oil sales since the sanctions have been lifted, or a blind eye's been turned, I should put it, to their sale of oil. And so they've got Hamas has a lot of money. They've been being trained for a year or two. And I think they also saw Israel divided internally on the judicial reform and politically, and thought they had an opportunity here. I think they made a huge mistake. And I think the Israelis are going to unite. You've seen a very professional, very well thought out, deliberate military operation to surround Gaza City. They'll now go into Gaza City, they'll destroy the tunnels, and they'll destroy Hamas. Because it goes to your point earlier, Bill, these Hamas aren't even terrorists. They're a bunch of serial killers. It'd be like if you had Ted Bundy living next door and he killed one of your kids and someone said, well, just build a bigger wall and give him some more food. Maybe he won't kill the rest of your kids.
Any rational person knows that you got to break this movement, and you got to break it now. Final question. And this is a speculative question that I don't really, I'm not comfortable in that zone, but you know more than anybody about it. Do you believe that Israel will directly attack Iran? Iran's behind the Hamas movement. Without Iran, Hamas can't do anything, pretty much. They have to get the mullah's approval, and the mullahs, as you just pointed out, assist them. Do you believe that Israel will take action directly against Iran?
Well, I think Israel would prefer not to. They've got Hamas in the south. They've got Hezbollah up in the north in Lebanon. I think the Israelis would like to take out Hamas. And I think if Hezbollah gets frisky and starts to engage with Israel and tries to support Hamas, I think the Israelis will take care of Hamas first and then take care of Hezbollah. I think they'd like to avoid a long-range battle against Iran. But on the other hand, if the Iranians get involved and shoot missiles at Israel, that would be a huge mistake, because the Israelis do have the reach to get them. And I think they would. So I think without a direct Iranian attack on Israel, I think that the Israelis will hold off.
When you were in office, were you and the President Trump at the time confident that Israel could militarily take out Iran's nuclear campaign, what they were doing to develop the nukes, which you assume they're still doing? Were you confident that Israel had the power to destroy that?
Given enough time, Bill, the problem is they don't have the long-range aircraft that they need. So there's a lot of refueling involved, and there's a lot of sorties for their F-15s, their Strike Eagles, to get to Tehran and to the nuclear sites to hit them. They'll have to hit them multiple times. They don't have the B-52s or the B-1s like we do, or the B-21 that's coming online. So yeah, Israel could do it. It would take time. And the problem with the time is, as you've seen with the engagement with Hamas, the world doesn't give Israel much time. We went into Afghanistan. Everyone knew we were going to stay there as long as it took to get the job done. The Israelis are going to get 2 to 4 weeks before the pressure on them gets too heavy for them to continue. And so, again, like Hamas, taking out the Iranian nuclear facilities, if Israel did it alone without United States help, they could do it, but it would take them a while.
Okay. I want to thank you again publicly for helping me with Killing the Killers. Couldn't have done it without you. And everything that you told Martin Dugar and I, 100% true, because, of course, we checked it. I really appreciate you doing that. That it meant a lot, and millions of people have read the book so that they have this primer on what kind of a dangerous world indeed still today that we live in. Ambassador, all good things to you, and I hope we can talk again soon. Thanks. Okay, new poll. Tip poll. I don't trust this poll, but, you know, 1,400 Americans, and they asked about it, Israel, Hamas. First question. Generally speaking, in the Israel-Hamas conflict, do you side more with Israel or Hamas? Overall, not sure, 31. Hamas, 11. Israel, 58. All right, that's a pretty good plurality there. Democrats, not sure, 26. Hamas, 20. 20% of Democrats side with the terrorists. Wow. Israel, 54. Republicans, not sure, 22. Hamas, 7. Israel, 71. Independents, not sure, 44. Hamas, 6. Israel, 50. So you got 20% of Democrats siding with terrorists, people who murder women and children. That's not good. And Democrat Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz a little teed off about it. Roll it.
I would hope that all members would support a resolution that condemns terrorism, the brutal attacks that were perpetrated against the Israeli people that were killed. We have 218 hostages. They took 222. Someone who votes against this, I would think, doesn't have a soul.
Well, 20% of your party doesn't have a soul then. Right, Debbie? With all due respect. So anti-Semitism is obviously a big story in this country. And, you know, nobody knows what's in people's hearts. But certainly if you support Hamas, you're anti-Semitic. Okay? I mean, there's no wiggle room out of that. So there are 6 million Jews in America, 7 million in Israel. All right? 6 million in America. Yet American Jews have a disproportionate amount of wealth and power. Why? Because they are well-educated, generally speaking. They work very, very hard. Okay? And they are organized. That's why they're succeeding in our capitalist society. Not only that, but they control a large part of the entertainment and news industry. All right, in Hollywood, there are, I mean, I got the list here of powerful people, and it is formidable and always has been. Always has been. Louis B. Mayer, all of these old movie moguls, they're all Jewish. But there is a problem now in that community because there is a tendency for American Jews to vote liberal. I think that's an accurate statement, okay? Most Jewish Americans are liberal. But now the liberals are against Israel, at least 20% of them. So there's a conflict. And I wondered how these movie moguls in Hollywood are handling that. So who best to ask, and a guy who's been in Hollywood since Walt Disney, Ben Stein, he's the author of a new book, which is a good book. I'm reading it now. The Peacemaker, Nixon, the Man, President, and My Friend, just out, and you should check it out. Mr. Stein, it was a speech writer for President Nixon, a Yale grad, not going to hold that against him. And he joins us now from L.A. So in the showbiz community, you know, the criticisms of Israel have been pretty muted, I have to say, because they are progressive far left. There's a big cadre of them. How are you seeing it?
I see it the same way it always is, that the Jews in Hollywood, in very large measure, have substituted the worship of the Lord God Almighty for the worship of Karl Marx. And this has been going on for a long time, although as Hollywood is not all one stone, one monolith, one might say. There's the studio heads before the war, before World War II. They were all Jewish, and they were all quite conservative, very, very conservative. And then the writers and actors, they were very left-wing. Not all, but very many of them. And those people have become ever more powerful and prevalent in terms of their political views. People who are running the studios nowadays are not the same kind of people who are running the studios in the days of Louis B. Mayer in any way before the war, but certainly before the Vietnam War. And just by dint of burrowing from the inside out, the powerful leftists in Hollywood have taken over Hollywood. And it's very much a shame. It's a tragedy, in fact. It's a disgrace to the Jewish people, because Hollywood was one of the few clearly on Israel's side entities in America. And now we have very devout Christians. They're even better. But Hollywood has changed. They're still Jewish.
Yeah, I don't see
but
any.
They're not right wing. Right.
I don't see any outright support of Israel, and maybe I missed it. But look, you got Jeffrey Katzenberg, one of those powerful executives in Hollywood. He's heading up Biden's reelection campaign and money raiser. You got Ari Emanuel, you got Steven Spielberg. I mean, you got powerful, very, very wealthy people funding progressive causes all day long. But on the Israel thing, they're muted. I haven't seen any demonstrations in Hollywood pro-Israel. Have you? Have you seen any of that?
I belong to a group called the Republican Jewish Coalition. And but we are nowhere near, not even remotely, at the level of power, wealth, and influence of the people whose names you just mentioned. And I don't see it either. And it's a very, very heartrending, or as my wife would say, heart-rendering situation. And I don't understand it. I mean, I don't understand it. If Hollywood cannot be for the Israel state, the state of the Jewish people, I don't know who can.
I mean, I'm waiting for some, you know, organized thing out of Hollywood supporting Israel. I have not seen it. But the one thing that I have seen is that Hollywood now supports the cancel culture big time. Because I
big
know
time. Big,
right,
big time.
I know a lot of people, not as many as you, but I know a lot of people in the showbiz industry. And a lot of them are moderate conservative. And they say, if I say one word that's not left wing, I don't work. And that's across the board.
I've seen that in my own life. And I've seen it happen to me very cruelly, I think, because I helped produce, write, and star in, so to speak, a documentary which said that God created the earth and people and creatures on it and not evolution. And for that, I was really very much barred from Hollywood for a very long time, and still am. And that's a horrifying situation. People don't know this, but I'm going to share with you because you're my pal. Before the actual breakout of war between the U.S. and Nazi Germany, Hollywood sent representatives to Hitler's Germany and invited representatives from Hitler's Germany to come to Hollywood to screen Hollywood movies and make sure they were not saying anti-German, anti-Nazi things, because they did not want to offend the German and German-speaking audience in Europe. And this is, as I say, something not everyone knows, but it was a disgrace and it happened. And I think it's, in a way, still happening. And very, very, very bad news, disgraceful. And I don't know what else I could say about it, except if it's bad news and it's disgraceful, it's really a bad thing. Thank God for the evangelical Christians. Thank God for them.
Sure. And not only that, but the Roman Catholics, and they're all staunchly against the terrorists and pro-Israel in this regard. Now, I'm learning a lot from your book, which is my litmus test to read any book. And one of the things that I learned that I had no idea was that Richard Nixon was a hero in the Yom Kippur War of 1973. Now, for people who don't remember that, Egypt and Syria attacked Israel, and Israel was ill-prepared for the attack, almost exactly the same that happened in October with Hamas. And Israel was fighting for its life in 1973. And Nixon okayed a technology, a new technology, and sent it to Golda Meir and the Israeli government that made it more difficult for the Syrians and the Egyptians to launch their rockets. And it was a new technology. And Nixon's advisors did not want to send that over. But Nixon overrode everybody and did it. An amazing fact.
Even Mr. Kissinger, obviously a Jew, people often think I'm Kissinger, even though I'm much younger than Kissinger. Kissinger said, no, you'll get us in terrible trouble with the Arabs. Nixon said, I don't care. This is right. It's just right that the Russians cannot be allowed to dominate the Middle East by sending these super good jamming devices that jam the electronics in the Israeli Air Force. And Nixon said, I want to hear the sound of the jet engines taking off from Andrews Air Force Base with the devices that will help the Israeli Air Force. That saved Israel.
Were you surprised because you were there? And were you surprised that Nixon overrode all his advisors?
I was very not at all, because bear in mind, I don't know how well you remember this, my father was chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors of the president under President Nixon and Ford, and he was pleading, along with several other high-ranking Jewish people at the White House, for Nixon to help Israel. But I think Nixon would have done it anyway. Nixon's mother had said to him, when Nixon was a young man, you will someday be given the chance to help the Jewish people, the children of God. You will be given that chance. It will be a gigantic historical chance. Go ahead and do it, and you will be in the history books forever as the person who saved the children of God.
But you know what? Everybody's forgotten it, which is why they should read the book, The Peacemaker, Nixon, the Man President, and my friend, Ben Stein. Hey, Ben, always good to see you, man. You know?
Good to see you, sir. God bless you, sir. God bless every word you said.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Let's go to California. Gavin Newsom having a little troll in a polling. This is from Berkeley Institute of Governmental Studies, the University of California. More than 6,000 registered California voters. Do you approve or disapprove of Gavin Newsom's job performance? 44 approve, 49 in California disapprove. Wow. And that is down 11 points since February of this year. Now, why? Why is Gavin tanking out there? Ah, what an interesting question. I think it's because of economics. I think working people in California are getting killed by taxes and high prices. But I can't say that 100%, but I think that's what it is. All right, all across the country, household debt is now a record. All right. The average American household owes, ready, $145,000. It's a record. That includes mortgage, okay? That's a lot of money. It's a big hole. Okay, now, interest rates have gone from 3% home mortgages under Trump to almost 8% under Biden. So the debt's going to go up. And Biden, he didn't want to cut anything. So it's like this, but all I can do is give you the facts. Credit card debt, more than $1 trillion. Now, Americans owe more than $1 trillion on credit cards. So let's take a look at your situation. 8% are in delinquency. That means they can't pay. They can't pay the minimum. Now, if you run enough stuff on your credit card, and a lot of businesses, they don't even want cash anymore. They want you to buy the little sandwich on your credit card. I don't do that. Okay, I even at this point in my life, I keep track of what I spent. Okay, so 10% of credit card holders, and you got to have a credit card in this country. You have to. Are in persistent debt. They're not going to be able to pay it off. This comes back. This is going to come back to cut banking profits, credit card, Amex, all of those. Because people, they're running it up and you can't pay it off. Now, if you can't pay it off, your credit rating blows up. So a lot of this debt is from younger Americans under the age of 40. So if you're 28 and you're running up big credit card debt and you can't pay it off, you're not going to be able to get a loan to buy a house or a car. You won't get one. All right. Most Americans have no clue about any of this because they're not taught in high school how to manage money or what you can't go into debt. You go into debt, your credit rating is going to get hammered and you're not going to be able to borrow any money. And you have to borrow money if you want to have a house, unless you're a Kennedy or something like that. Let's segue into the Smart Life segment. So I told you last week, you should have a list and check it twice for Christmas and Hanukkah gifts right now. A list on a piece of paper like this, written with your hand, names of people you want to give gifts to and cards to, you know, don't you want to forget anybody? All right. Once you get the list of people you want to give to, then you put a dollar figure next to the name. So Aunt Sophie, I want to spend $100 on Aunt Sophie. That's generous, between 75 and 100, okay? And then down and down and down and down and down. And then at the end, you add it all up. You can use a calculator if you're bad at math like I am, okay? And you see, this is how much money that I budgeted on gifts. That way, when you go into the store and you're hearing Mariah Carey sing the songs and you're walking around, you see all the decorations, you don't impulse buy. All right? If you know what you want to get these people, that's even better. But put a figure about how much you want to spend on them. I just bought my daughter her Christmas present. It was insane. I'm not going to tell you what it was, but I'm an indulgent father, all right? But it had to be bought now because it's a concert situation. But she's my daughter, you know? So anyway, you got to be generous, even if it's tight. But there's other things you can do, all right, to bring this under control. Because this is a season now where you can get really financially hammered and in a lot of trouble. So if you have a skill like baking, you can bake. And people like that, little brownie, cookies, whatever it may be, okay? If you can fix something, you can write up a little gift certificate, you know, and give it to somebody. When next time you have a problem in the house, the gift's on me, I'll come and fix it. Creative. See? You use your skills. And people appreciate that. They appreciate it. Some may not even use it. All right? But I'm trying to give you, in the Smart Life segment, ways to keep things under control. Now, we have helped you. So we have the book bundle of all 13 Killing books, all right, where you can go on BillO'Reilly.com, order them all, and you get a present for yourself. My live performance 10 days ago in Huntington, Long Island. You'll get the whole thing. No one else will see it. That's free. We're kicking that in. But you get 13 killing books. That's 13 gifts. Nice gifts. You know, it's the most popular nonfiction book series in the world. In the world. And there's a reason. So you know people, and if they're interested in World War II, we have World War II, interested in Revolutionary War, Civil War, Abe Lincoln, John F. Kennedy. We had them, got them all. Jesus? Killing Jesus? I mean, on Christmas? I know killings probably doesn't go in with Christmas, but it's about the Nazarene. So anyway, we bundle it up to send you all of that. And when you do the average out on gifts, you're going to be way, way ahead. And we have other things too, combo things, all right, that you buy and then you get two gifts or three gifts. Become a premium or concierge member, you get a gift card to give to somebody else, you get a free book. All of this is creative gift giving and will save you a bundle, Smart Life. All right, here's the final thought of the day. I told you yesterday I would report back to you on the American culture. It used to be, and it bind us all together. That's what it used to be. Okay? Television, we all watch the same shows, could discuss them, People became huge stars, All in the Family, Mary Tyler Moore, you know the drill. Johnny Carson at night, Brokaw in the morning, you know, Jennings doing the news. Now, gone. So the same thing is happening in the news. So I'll give you some numbers to back up what I say. So over the past 4 weeks since the writer's strike ended, here are the late-night comedians' audiences. Colbert, a unbelievable leftist, is averaging 1,700,000 viewers. Okay? 1,700,000. Kimmel, 1,590,000. Fallon, 1,290,000. Just to put it in perspective, when I did The Factor, two runs, I did about between 5 and 6 million. That's what I did on the Fox News channel. So late night is gone, vanished. There's very, very few people watching. Morning, Good Morning America, averaging a bit over 3 million a day. NBC's Today Show, 2.9 million. And CBS Morning, 2.275 million. So those numbers, I mean, I dwarf them on cable television with my program, The O'Reilly Factor, for more than 20 years. Gone. People are all over the place. And that means it is harder to get your message out. So I used to go on all of those shows and sell books. You know, I hold up the book, this and that. Okay, boom, 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 boom. There were millions of people watching. I went on Letterman and Leno, Kimmel in the morning, and it was fun. Fun for the audience, fun for me. Now, nobody watches. So you can see the book industry just tumbled down. Same thing with recordings, all right? You got to go to Spotify to hear new music because all the radio playing classic rock and all that. And we are becoming tribes, like individual tribes all over the place. That's why this pro-Hamas movement on college campuses stunned so many people, surprised. Go, what? How could this happen? It happens because these people, Americans, now live in these little bubbles right here. And they go where people, what they want to believe, they go where people who believe what they believe are. They don't want to hear anything else. Dangerous. And that's why this broadcast, the No Spin News and BillO'Reilly.com, is like this. Because we don't do that segmentation. We tell you the truth about what's going on in America and around the world. So anyway, the numbers are dismal. They're still beyond. Everybody will, but they're not making nearly as much money as they used to make. So thank you very much for watching and listening to the No Spin News. We'll see you on Monday. Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.